From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, July 11th, 2017. And on this day, a reprieve, possibly temporary, for the Downey's Correctional Facility in Machiasport. And a state commission decides the tiny liquor bottles known as nips should stay on store shelves after Governor Paula Page has tried to ban them. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
More than 40 employees of the Downeast Correctional Facility who got pink slips in May have won a reprieve. The Maine legislature has included money in the budget to keep the minimum security prison open for another year. But as Susan Sharon reports, the governor still intends to follow through with his plans to close it.
First, there was a bill to defund the small Machiasport prison, which was rejected by the legislature's Criminal Justice Committee. Then, Governor Paul LePage said he'd close it anyway. With a $5 million annual price tag, LePage said it had become too costly and inefficient to maintain. But some Washington County lawmakers objected. The prison is one of the largest employers in the region. Senate Republicans also questioned whether the governor had the authority to unilaterally close it. And in the end, lawmakers provided enough funding to keep it open until June of next year.
But right now, we have a reprieve for a year, and we also have language written in there that no facility can be closed without talking with the legislature, which are two things that I felt were very important in this process.
Republican Senator Joyce Maker of Calais questions how the Downeast facility can be closed when there are currently no other state prisons that can absorb part or all of the current population of about 60 inmates. Corrections Commissioner Joseph Fitzpatrick agrees that space is a problem.
We don't have the current intention of removing the prisoners because we don't have the beds to put them in. At the same time, we are not adding any prisoners to that facility at this point.
But Fitzpatrick says Governor LePage hasn't given up on his plan to close the Downeys Correctional Facility. In recent months, some inmates have been transferred out, and some staff have retired or found other work because of the uncertainty surrounding the prison's future. Fitzpatrick says he understands the anxiety this has caused.
You certainly feel for those individuals, and I'm very proud of the staff. I can't say enough good things about them. I think that they are diligent and have worked hard over the years.
As debate intensified at the State House over closing the Downeys Correctional Facility, Governor LePage also took the unusual step of commuting the sentences of 17 male prisoners and 4 female prisoners considered low-risk offenders. At the time, LePage denied that there was a link to his plan to close the prison and make room for inmates at other facilities. Fitzpatrick says there are no plans to release any other state prisoners early, but he says the governor may be seeking legal advice about whether he can release anyone from county jail. Senator Maker says he's also looking at whether he can place some state prisoners in county jails.
I'm not quite sure that the organizations that run those jails are up for that, but I'm sure for the right price, they might be.
Whatever the plan for closing the prison, Maker says she's anxious to hear it, and she'll be paying close attention over the next year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
You have heard of nips, those tiny bottles of booze that Maine Governor Paul LePage once banned. They're here to stay. For now, anyway. The Maine Liquor and Lottery Commission voted against the administration's proposal to outlaw the sale of the 50-milliliter bottles, which the governor says were linked to increased incidents of drunk driving and littering. A.J. Higgins has more.
As the director of the Bureau of Alcoholic Beverages and Lottery Operations, Gregory Minio, walks a fine line between promoting liquor sales in the state and managing the social problems alcohol can present. And despite the skyrocketing sales of Nips bottles here in Maine, Minio told members of the commission at a hearing on the proposed ban that the little bottles have to go.
This size is really about price, portability, and concealability.
Which is why Minio, who has seen Nips sales jump from around 500,000 bottles to more than 8 million in just a few years, says that no one should be surprised to find thousands of the little plastic bottles all over the ditches and shoulders of Maine's highways.
Many purchasers who predominantly frequent convenience stores are consuming the size of spirits in moving vehicles. roadside litter indicates that purchasers of 50 mLs are, in fact, consuming them in moving vehicles and discarding the empty bottles out the window.
But there was no one from the Department of Public Safety to back up those claims, a detail that LePage staffers avoided in their presentation to the commission. Aaron Chadbourne, a senior policy advisor to the governor, testified that expanding the state's returnable bottle law with a 5-cent deposit may seem like a reasonable idea, but there's a problem.
Now, some may argue that the 5-cent deposit of the miniature bottles will cause motorists to think twice about whether to toss their empties onto the side of the road. But Governor LePage believes for those individuals who are already violating Maine's open container laws and using alcohol while driving, the incentives are far greater to simply discard the evidence of their crime.
But opponents of the governor's ban request, including Stephen Roop of Auburn, remain passionate. Roop, who owns 6 liquor stores in Maine, says LePage was simply attempting to extract his revenge on the Maine legislature for overriding his veto of the bill that attached a deposit to Nip's bottles.
This just seems to be a vindictive way for the governor to get back at maybe one or two or more senators and legislators who dare go up against him. I voted for him twice. I don't think I'd vote for him again. He's childlike. And I don't mind saying that in front of the cameras. And if he wants to call me, he knows where I live.
Other ban opponents, such as Tom Saviello, a Wilton Republican, say the administration should reconsider its efforts to end sales of Nips in Maine, which are a considerable source of revenue.
If you decided to delist them, then I would recommend and would certainly support legislation to get the state out of the liquor business. You will be walking away from the fourth largest sales item in our business. We know that in 2016, about 8 million Nips were sold, and a projected 14 million are supposed to be sold in 2018. I believe this represents a net profit to the liquor budget, not to the general fund, about $4 million in 2016 and about $8 million projected for 2018.
The logic of the proposed ban also eluded Mark Brown, president and CEO of the Louisiana-based Sazerac Company in Lewiston. More than 50% of all Nips are bottled by Sazerac, and Brown says a ban could result in job losses at his Lewiston plant. He says it's hard to believe that Nips are solely responsible for an uptick in OUI arrests over the last 2 years, and harder to understand why the governor would link the two together.
Even if there were evidence to support the correlation, and Bablow has presented none, then why will we not be back here in 30 days dealing with the prohibition on other sizes or the banning of alcohol in bars and restaurants? The supposed logic that says prohibit 50 ml spirit products to decrease OUI risk should apply to all alcohol containers and behavior, should it not?
The commission voted 4-1 against the ban. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
The Snow Pond Arts Academy Charter School in Sydney had an ambitious goal to be the first public school in Maine to use a model called blended learning, in which most of student work takes place online. But after only a year, the school is abandoning its virtual approach. Robbie Feinberg has more.
When the Snow Pond Arts Academy launched last fall, it was the first charter school with a performing arts focus, but it also embraced a model called blended learning. That means that some learning occurs in a classroom, but much happens online. When Maine Public Radio visited the school last September, then Academic Department Head Corinne Coughlin said the online curriculum from the company K-12 let her be creative with her lesson plans.
And then I can be innovative and bridge, you know, from the core academics to the special interests on the art side of things. So music interests, dance interests, theater interests.
However, the school struggled out of the gate. It couldn't find staff and didn't meet projected enrollment numbers. And in an evaluation that occurred 90 days after Snow Pond opened, the state's Charter School Commission said the school's teachers weren't adequately trained on how to teach online. And students shared similar concerns. Back in September, freshman Nevaeh Shukart said the online program was difficult to use and that she didn't learn as much as she had in her previous school.
Well, I had my moments where I thought I was going to leave because of K-12, but then I was like, yo, the arts is like on your path to the future, so I'm kind of sticking through it.
Do you feel like you're learning as much right now?
No, not really.
But students like Shukhart won't need to stick through it anymore. On Tuesday, the school told Maine's Charter School Commission that this blended learning model would be no more. As part of a school improvement plan that Snow Pond created with the commission, the school says it will get rid of its online platform next year. Snow Pond Principal Heather King says the school didn't train its teachers well enough last year. And over the course of the year, she says students found online learning to be isolating and less engaging.
The feedback we got was that students really, really were yearning for that classroom instruction.
By leaving behind the online K-12 platform, the school says it will save about $140,000. That money will help Snow Pond take 5 classroom teachers from part-time to full-time and add a part-time foreign language teacher. But there are other concerns. At Tuesday's Charter School Commission meeting, member Nikki Farnham worried that students may have been hurt by the school's turnover and struggles in its first year. Other commission members assure that the school will be heavily monitored over the next school year. And with new leadership, the commission says it believes Snow Pond is in good hands. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, July 11th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.